Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
Let's get to, what are we doing? Instagram scam.
Yes. All right. So Ashley reached out to us because she's having an issue with her man and the certain post he's liking on Instagram. And I think we've had this discussion before and we've debated it. And she feels like what he's doing is a huge red flag, which is why she wants us to do Instagram scam. Hey, Ashley.
Hey, guys.
Good morning. Okay, what's going on? What's got you all insecure?
Okay, so my boyfriend and I, we got into it over his Instagram. You know how if you're scrolling through, like, the Insta feed, you'll see pictures that other people you follow like?
Mm-hmm.
Well, even if the post is from another person you know, if you followed it, it'll populate on your feed and you'll see it. And it'll suggest you to follow them. Anyways, my boyfriend liked this girl's slutty Halloween costume post and it popped into my feed. I let it go thinking it was like an accident or something. And then the very next day, he liked this chick's bikini post and it popped up on my feed again. And I'm like, WTF, you know, of course I took screenshots and the sexy Halloween costume chick is, can I mention her or is that okay?
I mean, you could give a first, you can give a first name.
Okay. So her name's Kaylee.
Okay. I thought
and
for sure you were going to, I thought you were going to call her Skank. Her first name is, her given name is Skank.
Yeah. Well, Kaylee Skank basically. Right. And then the bikini chick is, Devin Skank. So I called him out.
The Skanks.
Of course,
the Skank twins.
Yeah, they're both Skanks in my book. I don't care. But I called him out, and of course, he got, like, so defensive. And he's like, they're famous influencers. It's not a big deal. He said, you know, I'm just liking their posts. I'm not liking them to hook up. And he turned this whole situation around on me, calling me overly sensitive and jealous and like, you know, he says Instagram is not cheating. But I feel like there's more to the story. Like there's something he's hiding because we've been dating for almost a year. And I just felt like this was a huge red flag, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to know if a baddie slid into his DMs, would he actually respond?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's debate the first thing, right? The liking of bikini pictures from somebody else that not necessarily is a model and somebody within reach.
Yeah, I've had this conversation with my guy friends a lot because they'll ask me, do you feel some type of way if I like your photo? And because I'm on the other side and I know their intentions, to me, it doesn't bother me. However, it's different when you're the girlfriend and you have a boyfriend who's liking other girls' photos. Yeah. It feels like they're crossing an emotional boundary. And I think it's very important to pay attention to how people respond to your feelings and your boundaries and if they're willing to work with you and take consideration for that. And so basically, he crossed an emotional boundary for you. Sure, maybe he's not going to cheat on you. Yes. Maybe he's not going to slide into this girl's DMs. But it made you feel like he was stepping out on the relationship when he did that. You conveyed it to him and he didn't respond well. And that would be a big red flag in my book.
So this is a prime example of why I don't even follow my lady on Instagram. I don't want to see anything. I mean, social media just gets in the way of relationships to me. And I don't like pictures because to me, it's just not worth the argument in my relationship. But I don't really think there's anything wrong with it. I think it's just liking a picture.
You don't follow your girlfriend on Instagram?
I don't want to see anything she does on social media.
For fear of what?
It's not a fair thing. It's just, it can't do anything good for me. It can, like, I in my last relationship, I saw things and it changed my perspective of her. And it was small things, but it was just things I would rather not know. It's just not relevant to me. So I don't follow her.
I feel like you would want to know those things, though.
Why?
That way you can make an educated decision on whether or not you want to stay in the relationship.
Yeah, because you're the one that has always said, like, when you're dating somebody, mm-hmm. you want to know 100% of their history.
Her past, for sure. But
not their, you don't want to know anything going on now.
No, I'm straight.
Just the past.
Damn good.
What would you see on your girlfriend's Instagram that would make you feel differently about her?
It could be her liking pictures. It could be certain people commenting on her pictures. It could be people from her past coming back around and commenting. And then I have these questions. And to me, it's really irrelevant mm-hmm. at the end of the day. So for me, I'd just rather not even see it.
Does she follow you?
I don't know.
Really?
I have no
this
idea.
Is fascinating.
You serious. Don't know if your girlfriend follows you.
I have no clue.
Well, I'm going to be looking.
No, I mean, I get it, Ashley. Like, that would be, and then Instagram, just be out here outing people left and right. Because I do. I'll be scrolling, and I'm like, why is this photo? Like, I don't follow this person, and then it's like a suggestive follow, and then I look, and I'm like, every now and then, it's your son Hollis that is like something.
Oh, no.
And yeah, and I'm like, oh.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, should I tell Bert? And I'm like, nah, man, he's not.
Let him live.
Not my circus, not my monkeys. I'm not going to play with that. And it's so funny because that stuff will pop up. So,
Is he liking the nudes you've been posting?
No.
Is that it?
Okay, that's on my OnlyFans, not on Instagram.
At least he's supporting.
Thank you. Mama's got a kid to put through college.
Yeah.
So I think more so than anything, Ashley, what he's doing isn't the infraction, but his reaction that he got mm-hmm. so defensive. So just so you know, we did an Instagram scam. We had a baddie slide into his DMs, and we have the results for you coming up next, okay?
Ooh.
That was a quick turnaround. All right, we'll do it next on The Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
If you're a 31-year-old single woman, consider yourself as being on the clearance rack of dating. Not my words. This was what one of the contestants on Love is Blind said this week. I was watching the show. Sorry, confession. I'm watching Love is Blind.
It's so messy this season.
Yeah.
On a scale of messy, is it real? What's the lives, Secret Lives of Mormon Wives? Which is messier, that one or Love is Blind?
Secret Lives, I think. Although I watched that whole season, I'm only on like episode 3 of Love is Blind.
I haven't finished Love is Blind yet. I think to me, Secret Lives of Mormon Wives is so like out there chaotic, whereas this is like just typical relationship chaos that we've seen time and time again.
Yeah.
And I'm watching it. I'm like, how have we not evolved as a species? This is insane.
So this is like the 60-second question I want to ask you guys before we get Ashley back on to figure out if her boyfriend has been cheating on her or not on Instagram. Cassie, grab a mic here also. Is this how most women feel? She literally said, she was half joking, but she said, I'm 31 years old. Men are sifting through the clearance rack now of us 31-year-olds. Do 31-year-old women that are single feel that way?
I'm not 31, but there's definitely a ticking clock in my head that says when you hit 30, you got to run.
Like you're on the clearance rack.
Not that you're on the clearance rack, but I think just as you get older as a woman, like your prospects do start to dwindle. Like there's kind of a prime time spot. I would say around like your from like 24 to 28 is kind of your prime time spot for women when you're dating. And once you get to those early 30s is when I think a lot of women start to realize that their dating pool is so much smaller and the opportunity to meet men that they match up with is smaller. And so it can feel like a clearance rack.
The dating pool at like 30 years old is like one of those kiddie plastic pools.
Yeah, it's just a lot of pee and questionable things. Yeah.
Well, what I remember from my friend who actually moved from here because the dating scene was so abysmal that in her 30s, none of the guys her age or a little bit older wanted to date women in their 30s. They wanted women in their 20s. Hmm. And so she very much felt like they wanted young 20 specific look. And she was just like, yeah, peace out. I'm gone.
Yeah, I think it depends. Again, not from my personal experience because I was in a relationship, but friends, what you want. Like if they wanted to date older, then there was more of a pool, but it was more divorcees and that sort of thing. But if they wanted to date their own age, those guys weren't interested in looking at them. So I wouldn't say clearance rack so much as I think you're hitting this crossroads where what you're looking for may not align with who's looking for you.
Yes.
And you've got to reframe almost expectations and what you really want out of a partner. But it's also a point of major growth. Like how I felt in my early 30s was way different from how I felt even in my mid 20s, like even a span of 5 years, totally different person. And so I wonder too, if there's an evolution there as well, where if you're a single woman in your early 30s, you might be like, well, I don't want the guy who goes out and parties anymore. Mm-hmm. I want someone more settled down, but they're all married. And so who am I looking for now? And what, having almost an existential dating crisis.
All right, let's get Ashley back on here. She wanted us to do an Instagram scam. She's got a boyfriend here. He's getting kind of frisky on Instagram. And he is liking photos of women that he knows in their bikini pictures, well, in their bathing suits.
He doesn't know them. They are like influencers of a certain, like bikini influencers or whatever. So he doesn't have them in his everyday life. But she's like, I don't care. It's like, this is creepy behavior. This is giving red flag behavior. And he's like, wait, this is not a big deal. It's not cheating.
I would feel it's a different level if it was people that he knew.
Yeah.
Influencers that he's never going to meet. Yes. It goes from creepy to threatening at that point.
It's funny because I almost feel reverse about it. Like, to me, I would feel less weird about it if that was your friend. Because like I said last time, I've had conversations with my guy friends that are like, do you feel some type of way if I like a photo of you at the beach or whatever? And for me, I'm like, no, to me, that's just you like supporting my Instagram and like supporting my engagement rate. So I think it's almost like, if you're going out of your way to like these randos who mean nothing to you, that would almost be more offensive to me.
All right, Ashley, you wanted answers. I'll turn it on over to Kristen here for our Instagram scam.
All right, so Ashley, you gave me your man's Instagram handle, and I have friends who I consider baddies because you wanted to see if a baddie slid into his DMs, if he would like interact. However, they aren't old for the earth baddies. They're just old for the club baddies. So I tapped Rebecca and she hooked me up with a couple of her friends who would be down to clown this dude. And we're going to call your boyfriend Sean. And one of Rebecca's friends slid into Sean's DMs. And here is the convo that transpired. Yes, Ashley, there was a conversation. So my FYP thought I'd like you. Him, you message me, so I guess your FYP was right. Her, I guess so. Him, you're Y-O-U-R, hot.
Ugh.
Her, thanks. Him, how often do you work out to get abs like that?
Oh, no.
Her, every day, doesn't leave much time for anything else. Him, well, there's more than one way to work out.
Oh.
No way.
Her.
Well, maybe he's talking about high intensity training.
Cardio.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Zumba.
Hip thrust.
Bowflex.
Wow. Her. Touche. Then some time passes. 6 hours to be exact.
6 hours later.
You know those SpongeBob time cards?
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to because it was literally like 6 hours later. 6 hours later, because again, yeah, your dude, not a lot of conversation there. So she said touche, and then 6 hours later, he hit her back, and this was obviously later in the evening. I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
Oh, are you kidding me?
And then that's when Rebecca's friend blocked him.
Creep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Your gut was right.
So I was right. Okay.
How long you been dating this guy?
A year.
Yeah. Get rid of him.
Yep.
Time's up.
Time to go.
Yeah. You're seeing exactly what he's all about here.
I'm sorry.
Thanks, guys.
I'm sorry.
I don't thank us. Sorry. But clearly, he's a creeper.
Better you find out now than later.
For sure.
Right? Mm-hmm.
All right, Ashley, we'll let you go.
Aw. No, I know.
Bye-bye.
Oh. Bye.
See ya.
All right.
Oh. Or maybe she should just start doing some more planks. I don't know.
Some more Bowflex?
Some more Bowflex.
You're on the shake weight?
Maybe this is on her.
Stop!
Do not make that motion, Kristen.
They are children.
Stop it right now.
The Burt Show.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Man, if you missed the show yesterday, you missed an epic day. And it rolled out in a way we didn't really see coming in four parts. And if you went to the podcast, you only listened to one of the parts. I really think you missed out on a pretty special day on the Burt Show yesterday. And that was Abby recapping and retelling everything that happened when she took this chance and went out to London to meet a dude that she had some chemistry with a couple of months ago, got there. The way you told this, I've complimented her a million times. The way you told this yesterday and your willingness to be vulnerable and also use it, I'm sure this wasn't your intention, but the teachable moment yesterday for other women, because it could have ended up way, way worse than it did. I told Abby off the air, she, I think, lived the life of this love bombing, manipulative relationship that I see a lot of people in that can happen over 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, right? This happened to Abby in the course of just a couple of months and just a couple of days in London. And I'll say that you escaped in a safe way, and it could have gone very, very sideways, but there were a lot of lessons to learn yesterday.
No, for sure. And that definitely, I don't know if I even expected for it to come out that way when I was talking at the end about how it reminded me, and again, I'm not trying to call it a domestic violence situation, but some of the signs that he was showing reminded me of women who have come on my podcast and talked about abusive relationships that they've been in and situations where they've experienced domestic violence and some of the things that experts in domestic violence spaces have talked about. And I think it's in a weird way, not kismet, because kismet's like a happy word, but like October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And I think there's so many things that women can write off that can lead you into a situation that can end up being really dangerous for you. So even though, you know, I'm not happy that this situation happened in the way that it did, I am trying to cling on to the fact that I hope that everything that came out is going to do some good for somebody and that it all didn't go to waste.
And it will. I think the lessons that one can learn from listening to your story is that having done your breakdown podcast, you know the signs. And not only did you know the signs, but you saw the signs. And not only did you see the signs, you actually reacted to the signs. So I think that's to be commended. And I think hopefully that empowers and emboldens other women not to downplay certain situations or to excuse behavior or just to justify behavior, and that it's okay to expect more, and that it's, even if you do like this, like what you did, this grandiose gesture, and I mean, you flew to another country, you're doing the most. You did the most, but you knew when to walk away.
Mm-hmm. And it's so weird that my own podcast has helped me, because I've had women, you know, send me DMs, and of course it hits kindly when they're like, I listened to your podcast and it helped me get out of a relationship, or it gave me the courage to realize that what I was thinking wasn't crazy. And to, in a weird way, like it empowered me, like my own podcast helped me get out of a situation. And it like kind of reinvigorated my excitement to continue to put out stories and stuff and help women, because I think sometimes I can kind of like brush off my accomplishments and be like, well, I'm just doing this podcast where people share their breakup stories. But I think I've forgotten the impact that women talking about their experiences can have on other people, mm-hmm. and help them in a way that is potentially life-saving. So I was very cautious when I went to go look at Facebook comments and read DMs and stuff, because I think there's kind of still a small part of me that recognized I did an impulsive and risky thing, which is not characteristic of me. And I was worried I would get criticism for that, but I was pleasantly surprised that a lot of the comments were more complimentary than critical.
Well, I mean, it's not even close.
Yeah, it's not.
Let's not. Yeah, I mean, the percentage of people that were inspired by it compared to the few people that were critical of it are, it's not even,
no,
you can't even measure
100%. But of course, you see one thing and you're like, you start to feel the voices in your head that are telling you you did something wrong get loud when you hear someone else say it.
Yeah, these are the same people that say, well, you put yourself in a dangerous situation, so it's your own fault that it happened. No, you should be able to back out of any of those situations. Mm-hmm.
That's
right?
Victim blaming. Uh-huh.
Yeah, or you're drinking too much, or what did you expect? Like, you don't live in a... Of course he was going to think that. So, of course, when you see that one or two times, it turns up the volume of those thoughts in my head. So I thought I'd read some of the ones that hit home with me. I have a bunch, but I'll try and keep it brief because I know we're running out of time. But the first one I saw is from a user named Samantha Pinson. She said, I just listened to this with my 15-year-old daughter. We were not expecting the ending. You told it beautifully, and we're sorry for your pain, but I, as a mother, am so glad you told it just like you did. My daughter and I had a great conversation about not ignoring red flags. Mm-hmm. I'm sad to say I would have ignored them when I was younger, but because of your bravery, her self-worth grew more. Because of women like you, my daughter has more self-worth than I ever did at her age. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'm so proud of her and of you.
Wow. That's powerful.
That's very powerful.
So, and that's the ones that you need to focus on.
100%. And I think self-worth is really what a lot of relationship issues come down to. That's something I've learned from talking to so many experts. And I think that is what gave me, of course, the signs I recognized. But I think at the end of the day, like, my self-esteem and self-confidence was so high that day that I was looking at him. I was like, how dare you treat me like that? And that's what got me to walk out. Of course, the signs and stuff, but also just the fact that I was like, I'm a prize. What the heck are you doing? This is from Jennifer LaRose. She said, I hope that there are some women who listen to this entire story who have been ignoring red flags from a significant other and just had a moment of realization and empowerment. My heart is broken for Abby, but she told this story. But how she told the story was perfect. Women often overlook warning signs for a number of reasons. They convince themselves they're overreacting, or that this is normal male behavior, or that they themselves somehow did something wrong. Abby overcame all of that, trusted her gut, and got out. But she told the story in a way most women do when they're in the intoxicating beginning of romance. She glossed over warning signs until the end and showed us that this can happen to anyone at any time. I think this will make me pay more attention to the women in my life and how they talk about their relationships. I'm so proud of Abby for telling the story in this way, even though I know it's extremely difficult. I truly think it will have a positive impact on other women.
Your gut doesn't lie. Your gut doesn't lie. Your head lies. But your gut knows. So do you want to listen to the signs and bail, or do you want to ignore them and you listen to them?
Mm-hmm. When you find yourself justifying things, when you find yourself talking more than feeling, that's, I think, the biggest sign. This is from Shantae Sheree. She said, I appreciate the way she told the story with the honest emotions and excitement she had in real time. This is so important for others to experience how fast something can turn around in the moment. The fact that she didn't taint the story with the emotions she felt at the end shows how honest the story was, because this is how it goes in real life. It also shows that she is a successful journalist. Everything is going good until it isn't. I'm glad she's safe and told the story with honesty. She didn't pretend she had more insight than she did until she had it. That's storytelling at its best. She took you through all the honest emotions of the experience from beginning to end, and I can't express the appreciation for it. When she got to the end talking about wanting the mind and life of feeling safe, I looked over at my husband, who frustrates me to no end, but who would never let anything happen to me. Abby, you the man.
Wow. I don't know what else to say except much respect for you the entire way. I am one that believes that life is supposed to be lived big. So when you went and you took a risk, I know that you have a good enough head on your shoulders that there were precautions, safety precautions in place for sure. And you went to go live big. And I said at the outset, not even knowing what the outcome was, that was the win, that you went for it, right? Mm-hmm. And the fact that you followed your gut the entire time, were 100% vulnerable and honest, and so many people took away so many lessons from it. Just much respect for you.
Thank you. And thank you to everyone who sent me DMs. I've tried to respond to as many as possible, but if you're hearing this and I haven't responded to you, thank you for taking the time to listen and to message me your stories. I hope someone got something out of it.
The Burt Show.
I know we're not talking politics on The Burt Show, so we're not. I am going to say this, though, that a lot of people are taking this election seriously. Thank God. In Georgia, more than 1.5 million Georgians have voted in the 2024 election so far.
Wow.
I saw Cassie went and got hers, right?
Yeah, I went the first day of early voting.
1.5 million already. People are taking it seriously. And this is a swing state. So I'd get out there. Your candidate, whichever one it is, needs your support. All right, Katie. So you went not on a bar crawl, something much different, yet maybe healthier.
No.
No. Depending on where you went.
It depends. No, it's not healthier. It was a restaurant crawl.
Ooh.
Okay. A restaurant crawl.
Okay.
Okay.
This is the thing.
Dude, yes, they are the best.
Really?
Yeah.
You've done this?
Absolutely.
What?
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Somebody asked me where I got this cake from. Duh, it's from going up and down the bell lining at all these different restaurants. So when my good friend Leslie used to live here, she lived off of the Beltline in Inman Park. So I would meet her at Pont City Market, and we'd start at one restaurant, and then we go to another restaurant, and then we walk on the Beltline, and we walk down, and we hit up Beetle Cat, and then we hit up the Bread and Butterfly, and then we always finished at the gelato place. So we would hit just a bunch of different restaurants, and we would have a dish at every single restaurant just as we moved our way down the bell line.
All right.
I'm glad to know that I'm not alone, because I thought that this was some insane big back behavior. I'm at the age where going to like a lounge or a club, it doesn't hit the same. I don't want to do all that. No, that's not my idea of fun.
You're getting old.
Like, I know.
She might be getting old, but girl, I asked the restaurant to turn the music down the other day, so you're not that old.
Did you really?
It's a restaurant, not a club. Wait, turn it down.
Were you a Chuck E. Cheese?
And so a group of my friends, we were like, all right, it's been a long time since we've seen each other, and it's really hard for like all of us to get together, and it was six of us. And so we're like, let's just go to brunch. Saturday morning, we're like, go to brunch in Decatur at this new restaurant called Casa Blom. And we're like, that should be it. We'll have some mimosas. Chill. We get to brunch.
Mm-hmm.
Great food there. And then we're like, hey, guys, Real Tacos has like a Halloween thing going on right now. We should go get some Halloween tacos.
Yeah, I am really full. Let's go to another restaurant.
So it's because we really wanted to try like their Halloween theme items. We're like, we can just get it to go and have it for dinner later. That's how the plan started. So brunch, and then, well, we can go to this restaurant, get food to go. We don't have to eat it there. No one's going to do that.
Right.
And then we'll just go home. So we leave Casa Blom, then we go to Real Tacos.
Everybody's 100% in on this.
Everyone is.
You haven't lost anybody yet.
No.
Okay.
All right. And this started at noon. So follow me here.
Wow.
So we get to our second destination. We order tacos and they just look so good. And we're like, all right, one bite's not going to hurt. Right. So then we're taking a bite of the tacos. We're each trying which taco did you get? And we're just having a sampler of tacos.
Sure.
And we're like, okay, all right, guys, it's probably time for us to go home, right? By this time, it is almost 3 p.m., right? And we're like, you know, I would like to just hear some good music. And I heard this restaurant, 404 Cafe on Roswell Road. Let's go there and just listen to some music, guys.
They used to have great music there, but then Cassie showed up and told them to turn it down. Now they don't play music anymore.
So now we're on our third restaurant. And when we get there, we're looking at their list of appetizers. They had crab claws.
Yeah, place is lit.
And I was like, we got to try the crab claws, right?
It would be disrespectful not to.
Like what? Come on.
To the Atlanta cuisine scene.
Exactly.
Right.
And then my friend was like, well, their chicken looks good too. So we like split crab claws, fried chicken with macaroni and cheese and something else. And we're like, this is pretty good. Mm. And we're just having a good time. Their music was good. And then we're like, all right, guys.
Not another one.
Here we go. Another one.
And another one.
This is a great day. It's been wonderful. Let's just get a nightcap, right? This time, it's now 6 p.m.
12 to 6 p.m. at this point.
Yes.
It's 6 hours.
And we're like, all right, there's one more place we can go for a nightcap that's on the same street that we were with 404 Cafe on Roswell Road. We're like, let's just go to Mustache. It's... what is that called? Peruvian restaurant type of vibe. I'm trying to think of the name of the type of food, but it's a different type of food, right?
Okay. ethnic food from another country.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're like, let's go down there, get some kebabs and some wine. So we go to Mustache. We get some chicken kebabs and a glass of Sauvignon Blanc.
Ooh.
And I didn't get home till 10 p.m.
What? 12 to 10 p.m. crawling.
At different restaurants in the city.
What?
A time was had.
Sounds like it was, man.
Was y'all taking food from one place to the other?
Yes. Like, I had to go plates in the car, too. So then when I got home, I was like, hey, Mom, I brought you some food. Here's your options.
Don't worry, it's been sitting in the car for 12 hours, and you definitely won't get food poisoning.
Look, I can't think of a better place, really, than the Beltline or that part of town. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do a restaurant crawl, because there are so many great restaurants, but there are so many squares around town now that have popped over the last 20 years, you could do this just about anywhere if the restaurants are good, right?
Yes.
I mean, you could do Roswell for sure.
Oh,
you could go right down Canton, right? Where else? Woodstock, right? Has a whole bunch of different restaurants. Marietta Square is another one. Noonan. Noonan has great food in one downtown area right there. Where else can you do this?
Avalon.
There's a lot of places.
That's all I got.
Mo hasn't been out of Sandy Spring.
I have no idea.
Oh, Chattahoochee Works. Isn't that like West Midtown?
Oh, yeah.
Chattahoochee Works.
Buckhead Village.
Mm-hmm. Prague Street Market.
So many places. Yep. Now, I don't know that I would suggest for 10 or 12 hours, but you could certainly do it.
10-hour restaurant crawl is insane.
Time was ass.
That is wild.
All right, a reminder. It is the Burt's Big Adventure raffle right here for a brand new 2024 Audi. We are selling raffle tickets for $100. You could buy a brand new Audi for $100, and all the money's going to Burt's Big Adventure.
Yes, thanks to our friends over at Audi Atlanta. So we have this Audi Q3 2024 Q3 that could be yours for seriously $100. Go to burtsbigadventure.org, buy yourself a raffle ticket. You have until 5 p.m. tomorrow. That is the deadline, and we have a limited amount of raffle tickets, so the odds are most definitely in your favor. Mm-hmm. And then all the money's going to Burt's Big Adventure, so that way we can really spoil our kids on our next trip in 2025.
Yeah, and it goes to that. It goes to our other programs also, like our reunions, our fairy godparent program that if any of our Burt's Big Adventure kids from any previous year end up in a hospital, then we have volunteers that go and they bring games and they bring food, give the parents a rest. So that's where your $100 is going. Like Kristen said, now is the time. Mm-hmm. This is your 2-minute warning, because you got today and you got tomorrow to get these tickets.
Well, Atlanta, I love you, but you procrastinate like no other city I've ever met. This is a last minute city to get stuff done. So just know you got today until 5 o'clock tomorrow.
Please get your tickets at burtsbigadventure.org.
The Burt Show. Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
Y'all, this new Netflix show had me in a chokehold.
What is it?
I could not turn away. It is called Sweet Bobby, My Catfish Nightmare. And just when you probably think you have heard every catfishing story there could be, this one goes to a whole different level.
So it was very reminiscent of the college football player that got catfished.
Yes.
Okay, Manti Te'o.
Yes. So Mo had sent us this, and he and I are like here when it comes to like documentaries we like. Like, he and I tend to like the same stuff.
Absolutely.
So when he sent that, this was like, he was all in. I was like, all right, I take your recommendation strongly. And so I watched it last night, and it's like an hour and a half documentary about catfishing. And bless this woman's heart who puts herself out there, because you could watch this and just be like, this is so embarrassing. Like, how did this go? 8 years.
Eight years. All started from a meeting on Facebook.
Yep.
Because I'm trying not to give too much away for those who want to watch it, but just imagine you meet somebody on Facebook, and every part of your life, like her social life, was dictated by this man whom she had never even met.
But that, here's the thing, and Amber's told her story also, our producer Amber, who was catfished for like 3 years, right?
8 years.
Amber was?
Yes, but it was a real person, correct? I don't know if we ever got closure on that.
Well, let's get her down here.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because I thought like it was a catfish, but I thought that the last time when we talked about it on air that this was and like this was an actual person. Talked about it on the air.
We'll bring her back. We'll bring her down. But I mean, if you are in a long distance relationship like this, how do you go that long without at some point or another saying, hey, let's meet up?
Mm-hmm. All right. She was in a place because she's a woman who is in a culture where you get married young and like you're as a woman, your worth is your marriage. Right. Yep. And so she's like in her early 30s and she is not married and she's feeling this pressure and she just wants to find like she wants to find her one. And I think it kind of put her in this. I don't want to say desperate because she's not desperate. She was just
very loyal.
Yes.
To the idea of being married because it was such a big thing in her family. And she thought that this was her guy.
Yeah. And it's the twists and turns and the level of manipulation and like what this person and when you find out who the person is that Ooh. Did it. Let's just say the call was coming from inside the house.
Oh, man, it's shocking.
It is really? So, so messed up. I mean, and this poor woman, so what she's doing, like the whole reason behind this documentary isn't just to tell her story because there's a podcast and now there's this documentary. She wants to toughen up laws for catfishing online. Mm-hmm. Like she wants people to actually have to face charges for the manipulation. She lost a stupid amount of weight. She got really sick. She lost her job. She lost friends. Like she isolated herself from her family. Like this really gravely affected her life, right? And she lost her prime childbearing years. Mm. Like she wants to be a mom so bad. And for 8 years, she's like invested in this person that exist.
Yeah, the person does exist.
But doesn't exist.
At the same time.
But then I think the question is, if it's really important for you to have kids and to actually be married, then why not meet in person at some point?
When you watch it, right. You will understand.
Because I had the same exact question when I started watching it, but at the end of it, it'll make sense to you.
And it's called Sweet Bobby?
Sweet Bobby, My Catfish Nightmare.
Okay.
Okay,
Amber, so we've got like conflicting memories of your catfishing situation, and I could tell by the way you walked in here how sheepish you are. If you don't want to talk about it again,
no,
we don't
it's
to.
Totally fine because it is very embarrassing. But my time at that time, I was living in Los Angeles. I was not in a good mental space. All this only happened when I was in L.A. It never happened when I was here in Georgia.
Everything bad happens in L.A.
Yeah, pretty much.
happens there.
But I was right. It was like 8 years.
But was this a real person you were talking to, or was this somebody pretending to be somebody else?
This was a real person, okay. Which was lucky for me. They weren't, I guess they kind of were pretending to be somebody else, but I knew that it was an actual person that wasn't in my actual circle. That I can say for a fact.
Okay, so now I'm so confused.
At what point after you guys were talking, because to me it would feel, and again, I think the victims in these catfishing have one thing in common. It's that they're sort of at emotional rock bottom, which is what you were saying you were at.
Oh, I hated myself. And I honestly thought that was the best I can do. And I was also alone. I was living in Los Angeles. Everyone I knew and trusted was on the East Coast. I was trying to figure out things. And this person was saying all the right things, the things that I needed to hear at that time, believing in me or when at least I thought they did. And I was prime real estate for being a fool. I hated myself, so I just sat there and wasted my time. So
at what point, I'm sorry, at what point did you question, like, okay, every time I want to go and visit this person or anytime they want to come see me, something happens. How long into it before you're like, okay, something doesn't feel right here if this went on for 8 years?
Every single time. But I think a lot of people, what they don't understand is how low I was. Mm-hmm. I mean, I tear up thinking about it because I wasted my youth. I wasted a lot. Oh, you know, man. I thought that this person was going to be someone that I could be with. Like, I thought this was my person. And I made up a lot of, excuses for them, for me. Because it's just like Abby talks about all the time in the breakup breakdown. Sometimes people will
stay with something that is not good for them because they put so much time into it. So they want that time to be worth something. And because I was alone in Los Angeles, I already kind of felt, I hated myself. I wanted to die. And this is the only person at the time who I felt that I could tell anything to when I did. There was a trust there, even though there was no trust there. It's really difficult to understand, but I was in a low place, and I now I'm just very cognizant of my time. Because before, I was living alone. I was in a studio apartment. I had a job I hated that I worked from home, and I was isolated all the time. So that was literally my only, line to quote unquote love, because I didn't think I was worth it.
And only thing making you feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
Was this fake relationship.
I thought that was the best I could do, because who could possibly love someone like me? So I stuck it out because I thought that's all I could get. And so all that time was wasted.
I was curious as to every time you would try to meet this person or take the relationship to the next level, like, how did they carry these excuses for so long?
You can't really put logic to my answers, because there is no logic. You just want to believe something so bad because of what you think it could be. You just dig your toes in and hope to God that it's worth it. And unfortunately for me, it just wasn't. She gave me the same bullcrap excuses. My phone doesn't work, or the forward facing camera isn't working, or I can't get off work. It's always something. And in the back of my mind, I always knew it, but I did not think I was worth more, so I just accepted it.
Well, did you ever figure out who it was?
Yes,
you did.
Yes.
And did you ever confront them?
Oh, yeah. I asked them a bunch of questions. I wanted to know why. And the answers, honestly, even though I know the answers, they weren't good enough. Because that is the most time. You can't get that back.
No.
My youth was gone. All of that.
I sincerely recommend you watch Sweet Bobby, because by you putting yourself out there and sharing your story, by her putting herself out there, because she said, like, this is not easy to talk about.
No, it's like, so embarrassing.
But it's so important to talk about, because she does. What she's doing now is she's advocating for stronger laws against catfishing, because it's a crime.
Facts.
Like, it's a crime.
And the ramifications last a long time. The ripple effect. Mm-hmm. I mean, here Amber is, and you're how many years removed from this?
We have not been together for like 4 or 5 years.
And it still hurts to talk about.
It does, because all that time is gone. And I regret it. It's one of the biggest regrets of my life is that time that I wasted.
And regret's like not your story, and her story at the end, there's just I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And that just doesn't cut it.
The Burt Show.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.